I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy. Oh, yeah. It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
A woman named Tammy from Louisiana was arguing with her husband last week after he got home at 7 a.m. from a night out. I mean, that's kind of late, right?
That is a wild night out. I don't know how people do that. I just can't imagine.
I've never, on my bachelor party, when all my friends abandoned me, I got a ride home from one of the bartenders at like 4:15, but that was 4:15, not 7 in the morning.
Wait, your friends abandoned you on your bachelor party?
Everybody got, I mean, I like to drink, but a lot of my friends are like alcoholics, I think, even though they don't admit it. Yes, they were so drunk that like their significant others had to come pick them up. So
whoa.
Nobody really took care of me.
But yours didn't come pick you up?
No, my wife actually ignored my call twice.
Holy crap.
That's a funny thing. I'm like, God forbid I'm dying, Lindsay. Why would I call you at 2:30 in the morning? And I don't even know how. Like, the bar I went to, I used to go there all the time. It was my favorite bar in Evansville, Indiana. But, like, I don't know how they let me in because the bouncer didn't want it. But the bartender's like, oh, come in, let him in. But I remember doing shots with, all the bartender girls after they were closed down, shot scheme.
Oh, man.
Yeah, then I remember just throwing up on my ride home. But, yeah, to be fair, though, it sounds like my friends suck. Those friends did suck, but my true growing up, like childhood friends, they weren't there. This was like I was down in, you know, Indiana.
Well, it sounds like your true childhood friends suck too if they didn't come to your own bachelor party.
No. You got stuck with the B team.
No, they threw me a different bachelor party. It was kind of cool. It was like a separate one. So I don't know. All right, this is embarrassing. Back to the story. But got home at 7 in the morning from a night out. In the middle of the argument, he paused to take a quick toilet break. Been there before. And his wife or his girlfriend, Tammy, grabbed a knife, busted into the bathroom and yelled, quote, I'm tired of your blank. Like doo-doo, poo-poo. And stabbed him 3 times in the chest.
Ooh.
Now, I'm thinking she's like sick of his blank, you know, metaphorically speaking. I don't think it's actual, like he stunk up the bathroom or anything. Just probably tired of him always going out, having a good time. Anyways,
sure.
he survived, and she was arrested for domestic abuse battery and assault, an aggravated battery. I mean, to stab somebody.
That is scary.
That's intense. And then an Illinois woman arrested for drug possession. She had a loaded handgun, too. Any idea where she hid the loaded handgun?
I'm sure it was somewhere where the sun doesn't shine.
I'm going to say so far you are correct. Any other guesses? Do you want to narrow it down or you want to tell you the story?
Tell us the story.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was hidden in her lady parts.
Yeah.
The front parts.
Why?
The woman was stopped for speeding when officers found heroin and ecstasy in her... Why can I not talk today? Ecstasy in her vehicle, which makes me wonder, was she hanging out with this other guy in Louisiana? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, she clearly likes to party.
The officers searched her and they found all those things. When she went to jail, though, they searched her again and the officers found a .380 caliber handgun in her lady parts.
Whoa.
That is a big gun.
Well, hey,
or
she...
Or a little gun.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, to each woman her own, you know what I mean?
Ew.
Here's the part that's really messed up. The gun had a fully loaded clip and a bullet in the chamber, so it could have, like, went off.
Ooh.
It's different, like, if you have an unloaded thing, like, it's not going to do anything. It's just
right.
Really big or whatever, but it was cocked ready to go. Pew,
that's
pew.
Really scary. Like, that is so scary. I don't understand.
I don't, like, this chick was, like, hard. You don't hide a gun there for no, and is she doing this, like, was she just concealed carrying that all the way, like, all the time? Or is that like, oh, the cops are coming?
Right, that's what I'm wondering. Like, she's terrifying.
Yeah, no kidding. How would you like to be with her after that incident?
No.
Hello. And your final dummy of the day story today, a guy named Andrew was at a hotel in San Diego recently when he started talking to 3 random people in the hot tub and asked why they were staying there. One of them joked that they had to leave their house after their crack lab blew up. Which didn't even make sense because crack labs don't explode, meth labs do. I don't know. I'm just telling you scientifically. Andrew thought they were being serious and blurted out that he was in the drug business too. Then the next night, they were back in the hot tub with 6 other people when Andrew showed up and tried to sell them a bunch of cocaine that he had on him. What he didn't realize was they were all off-duty cops who were actually in town for a drug training seminar.
I love a hot tub like talks with strangers. That always happens.
Do you really talk to? I feel so awkward in a hot tub, even with somebody I know. But you'll talk to random strangers.
It just happens. You're in such close quarters that someone feels the need to like introduce themselves, and then you start talking about, well, why are you staying here? It always happens.
Oh my god! You ever been in a steam room? I know you're not like a big gym person, and I'm not necessarily either, but one of the YMCAs I've been to before, I like a giant steam room. It was good to like clear your pores and stuff.
Were there like men open towel in there?
Yes. I went in there and I was naked, but I had the towel over my crotch. And it's just like, I don't know. These men amaze me if they're proud of their man meat or what, because some of it's not even that impressive. But they just sit there and they let it all hang out. They're like, and they got their arms back, like they're just got their arm around two people. They're like,
So uncomfortable.
And they're talking. Like, dude, don't talk to me. I could see your ding dong. Like,
yeah.
Put it away. Anyways, they set up a sting over the next few months where an undercover cop bought drugs from him several more times, including cocaine and LSD. They also found a bunch of drugs at his apartment along with the digital scale. So now he's facing drug trafficking charges. We don't know, though. I mean, listen,
jeez.
I weigh things out in the digital scale and I'm not pushing drugs. I'm just trying to portion my meals out. Like once every couple of months, I try to eat healthy. So I'll pour. Ooh, that's 6 ounces of chicken. Sounds
good. Right.
Those right there are your dummies of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
It's the Joe and Alex Show. Who cares about this garbage?
Hillary Clinton did an interview and told CBS Sunday Morning host Jane Pauley that she's done being a presidential candidate.
Is your political career over?
Yes. As an active politician, it's over.
You will never be a candidate for office.
I am done with being a candidate, but I am not done with politics because I literally believe that our country's future is at stake.
Bernie Sanders, I'm here! I'm going for it!
We gained a brand new Miss America last night.
And here she is. Your new Miss America is Miss North Dakota!
What?
Yeah, that is like, I think, the first time ever.
Here she is.
North Dakota's had a winner.
Miss Louisiana was robbed. Did you see that puppet show?
I saw the puppet show.
Oh, my God, she was robbed.
Is that for you, little ventriloquist
yes.
right there?
Super
That's
weird.
Talent.
Josh Gad says his Frozen co-star, Kristen Bell, helped his family get out of Hurricane Irma's path in Florida. Gad tweeted, no joke, I'm Kristen Bell, just literally saved my parents, my brothers, and entire family from Hurricane Irma. You're an angel, I adore you. Gad explained that Bell had helped his extended family after they were unable to flee farther north and couldn't find shelter in Central Florida, where hotels are booked to capacity. The actress helped Gad's family get a room at her hotel in Orlando, where she's currently filming her new movie. She wasn't done yet. Kristen also visited a shelter to sing a few Frozen songs to cheer people up, including a song that was cut from the movie. Rihanna says she loves having no rules after having a lot of rules as a kid.
I mean, as a kid, first of all, your mom never wants you to grow up too fast. And then I started getting in trouble for wearing red lipstick too early in my career. And now it's like, sky's the limit. No rules. I can do whatever I want and make whatever makeup I want to wear.
TV broadcasting legend Barbara Walters is said to be living her life within the confines of her New York apartment, showing significant signs of age and receiving almost no visitors. According to TMZ, the 87-year-old icon has become increasingly forgetful and confused. She almost never leaves her apartment because she has an intense fear of falling down and breaking a hip, something that often results in a downward spiral for older people. Barbara does not want to receive guests, and allegedly she has shut herself off to almost everyone at ABC, and she only sees a few people who have been close to her.
That sucks.
Yeah. Ed Sheeran appeared on the Graham Norton Show, where he confessed his love of toys and Legos. Sheeran says he celebrated his latest album, Divide, going to number one by purchasing a Lego Death Star model. He said, I have a load of childish stuff in my house. There's a room full of teddy bears, and then cringed before saying, this is such an embarrassing interview. Lady Gaga explained what she meant when she said that she was going to stop creating music.
You know, when this tour is over, I'll take a little downtime for myself. And then I'll get back to doing what I love. I'm never not making music. I'm never not creating. I just am excited to spend some time reflecting on the past 10 years and getting excited about what I want to create next.
We also got exactly a reason why Kelly Clarkson revealed she chose to be on The Voice over American Idol, which confused a lot of people because Kelly was the winner of the first season of American Idol back in 2002. So she was basically asked if she'd want to be a judge on The Voice or American Idol, and she chose The Voice, she said, because she wanted to spend more time with her family. Her husband, Brandon Blackstock, also manages The Voice coach Blake Shelton and said that she's already spending a lot of time on The Voice set with her husband and their four children, so it Does she have four kids? I thought it was two.
I didn't realize she had that many right there.
I think it's two.
I saw something yesterday.
There's a typo.
I saw something yesterday about, like, she didn't want to win American Idol. She wanted to be second. Because if you were the winner that year, like they told them just before, you also had to do a movie. So she's like, I hope I get second. So maybe she's worried they're going to make her do, like, a part two.
That's funny.
From Justin to Kelly. That was a smash. Yeah.
Yeah, she said because her husband works on The Voice that she's always there anyway with her kids. So she'd rather be there. It makes more sense for their family. And Jim Carrey is freaking a lot of people out after a bizarre interview he did during New York Fashion Week.
I don't believe in personalities. I don't believe that you exist, but there is a wonderful fragrance in the air. I believe we're a field of energy dancing for itself.
All right, so how long has he been a Scientologist?
Yeah, dude, he is on drugs or he's in Scientology. Doesn't make any sense. It had a record-breaking opening to top the weekend box office. The Stephen King adaptation took in $117.2 million over the weekend to come in first place. It's the largest ever opening for a horror movie and the largest September opening of all time. And Louis Tomlinson has received violent death threats warning that he and his family will be skinned and turned into bedsheets.
Jeez.
The LAPD is now investigating a series of threatening text messages sent to Louis. He started receiving vicious text messages and pornographic images through WhatsApp. The text came from three different numbers, but they believe it's the same person behind them. One message reads, "Louis, I'll skin your whole family, including you, and turn y'all into bedsheets, pillowcases, and a queen-size blanket." Louis told the cops he responded to one of them in an attempt to stop the harassment. Cops immediately began an investigation into the threatening messages and appeared to be closing in on the suspect.
Did Louis date Taylor?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
Just Harry. That's it. That's the only member.
Watch out, Harry.
That's the garbage.
Thank you very much, Alex. Did you guys hear what's happening in Florida?
I just can't.
Okay, obviously Hurricane Irma's going on, but Alex, you found this story. You want to share it this morning, talking about Hurricane Irma and what police sheriff, actually, I believe, in is it Pasco, Florida? He just warned people, listen, do not do this. Whatever you do, just don't do it.
There was a Facebook group started.
Okay.
On the old Facebookaroo.
There's all kinds of great groups out there.
Lots of great groups. I'm in several here in Indy. And, this one, not so much. Not really a great group. It's kind of stupid, and that's why it's getting national attention. This group of people wanted to get together and shoot at Hurricane Irma. Shoot at the hurricane!
This is live audio. Some people still did it, I guess.
Hey, Irma! You take that, Irma!
Come here!
Show yourself, Irma!
We don't like your kind.
We don't like your kind around here in Florida.
They've got a lot of ammunition.
A lot,
Holy crap.
Those Floridians, they don't mess around when it comes to their gun collections. They thought, you know what? If we get together and shoot at the hurricane, maybe she'll get scared and turn around. Is that a bomb?
They just set a bomb on.
Is that a bomb?
Holy hell.
Who had that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The sheriff, like Joe was saying, did not think that was very funny. There was also a Facebook group that got together, and they wanted everybody to get their fans and blow them.
No,
that was my favorite one. The picture is insane. Yeah. I'm gonna get this Honeywell fan, and we're gonna blow Irma right back into the Atlantic.
I think it worked, though, because it's moved farther west.
That's true. The people that are blowing their fans towards the hurricane, it all of a sudden took a weird turn and is now going through Orlando, which wasn't supposed to be the case.
Yeah,
so
the category went down, people shooting in the fans.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe that sheriff didn't know what he was talking about, saying that the bullets could come back and kill you. Maybe.
Irma! Go home, Irma! Nobody likes you around here! Yeah! Take that, Irma! Woo!
Got my fan on, too.
Everybody blow at the same time.
One, two, three.
That's something we would do if we were really in Florida. Your chance right now to win a $50 Main Event gift card. It's the Name 5 and 10 game here on the Joe and Alex Show. And let's get some people on the phone. Hang on, because if the person can't do it, that means you get to win. This morning, we're going to go to line number, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, or 4. Producer MYK, give me a sign. All right, good one. Oh, that's a weird one. Not the middle finger. Okay. Angie, you're on line one. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Did you have a nice weekend?
I did.
What'd you do?
I worked.
Oh, well, that sucks. That's cool.
I mean, no, I love my job.
Oh, what do you do?
I am actually a CNA.
Okay, good.
So I take care of the elderly.
Okay, I was going to ask, what's a CNA? Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. Do you notice, though, that old people smell, like, as they get older? No, being serious. You don't have to say where you work, but, like, I think as we get older, we're dying.
But if you have good CNAs that take care of your people right.
That's right.
Then they don't. Because we keep them clean.
Okay. Well, I'll have to talk to you after the show about...
Still got that new and person
awesome.
Smell.
Yeah. Joe is like, what perfume are you wearing? Is that death?
Ooh, is that grandpa? There we go. All right, cool.
Death by grandma.
My people all smell fantastic when I'm done with them.
I bet they do. Ooh. What are you wearing? CNA by Angie.
I'm wearing mothballs by Angie. There we go. All right, we're going to play the name 5 and 10 game. It's really simple to do. Let's do this so as an example with Alex real quick. Alex,
yes.
Here we go. I need you to name 5 things you put on pizza.
Pepperoni, cheese, pizza sauce, pineapple, peppers, buffalo chicken.
Oh, that is 5. Yeah, you got one wrong. It was pineapple.
No, false. Pineapple.
I agree.
Oh. Angie, you don't like pineapple and pepperoni? Oh, my, or ham?
Well,
oh.
Pineapple just doesn't go on pizza.
Are you guys not? I'm losing Angie. Is her phone cutting out?
Joe's no. A pineapple
I
fan.
Think not.
All right, cool. So you get an idea how it works. Are you ready to go? This is for real, real. It's your turn.
I am.
Okay, here we go. Angie, we need you in 10 seconds to name 5 Disney characters. Go.
Snow White, Cinderella, Belle, Aladdin, and the Beast.
Good. That's Woo! 5. Woo!
Wait, do I see in here there's a stipulation too? Alex, you said it cannot be Pixar.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, no Pixar. And I was also thinking if somebody says something like Shrek or something, that would count against them. That's not Disney.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
So you did good.
Well, I actually grew up on all the 90s movies. I'm an 80s baby. Go yeah. 80s baby.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed 5 and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
And again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Every Monday at this time, our special guest, Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana, shares a story. Some of the scariest and most disturbing murders of all time. Why? To bring awareness to Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana and the services that they provide, which is a way to anonymously give tips on unsolved crimes by calling 317-262-TIPS. In honor of the movie It coming to theaters, which, gosh, we saw that on Saturday. That was scary as hell.
We'll talk about that a little after 8 o'clock.
This last weekend, we saw that. I heard you picked a very special case involving a serial clown. Is that right, Ashley?
I did, yes. Whoa. So we're going to be talking about... I didn't go see the movie. I find real life is scary enough, so... But we're going to be talking about a real life clown killer. So we're talking about John Wayne Gacy, who was born in 1942 in Illinois, and he was born to an abusive father who... wanted like the ultimate like man's man. He wanted the son that like played baseball and went fishing, but like John Wayne wasn't into any of that.
No, he was into
wanted to
people.
Like bar.
That sounds kind of manly, like if he's in war.
He wanted to garden and cook with his mother.
Oh, he's a sissy. Oh. Sissy boy.
And so he also had a heart condition that kept him from playing with other kids. Like if he got too worked up, he would black out. So his dad thought he was making up the blackouts as well. Like just thought he was just not the kid he wanted to be. And he also had some like weird tendencies where he would like steal his mom's underwear.
Yeah, that's a red flag, I'd
and,
say.
And like picture what he would look like in it.
Okay, this is going to sound weird, but in full, like, being honest here.
Oh, my God. Do you steal your mom's underwear?
Like, one time I was out of underwear.
One time?
No, listen. Don't typecast me. Listen. One time, they were tight, but I put them on. I was a younger kid. They were so soft.
What is happening right now?
I feel like
what?
I want to abandon the story and just talk about this.
They were really soft. Anyways, about this weird serial killer, not me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, just I got one weird guy.
That was a nice eye roll, like I didn't see it.
So he's obviously struggling with these weird urges, but when he grows up, he really tries to like be quote unquote normal to please his dad. So he gets like a good wife who comes from a good family. They have two kids, but he's still like struggling with this a lot because on the day that his second kid is being born, he's not at the hospital because he's out with a male coworker and actually like engages in his first like male sexual experience.
How old was the coworker?
Coworker was like a young boy, like 17, 18.
Oh, gross.
Yes. So he trying to repress this.
Liv's face. She is terrified.
We're not even at the scary part.
I know. Yeah, I know.
So trying to repress this, he tries to be very, very normal. They actually move away from Illinois, move to Ohio, where his father-in-law owns three KFCs, and he goes to manage
no,
them.
No, I love KFC. Don't ruin it for me.
What is this? What does the colonel have to do with any of this?
No, he makes everyone. He's on such a power trip, he makes everyone there call him the colonel.
Get out.
Yeah, yeah. So,
good morning, colonel.
He also, to get involved with the community, because he never had friends really growing up, so he really tries hard to get involved with the community, and he joins a thing called the JCs, which is like a junior chamber of commerce.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Oh, yeah. And
well, you know, people that are pedophiles and stuff like that, they always try to insert themselves into things like
law enforcement,
law enforcement or things that deal with children. Mm-hmm.
I was so afraid you were going to say they're in the JCs. I'm like, no. I get you.
So he actually rises in the ranks really quickly there because he's so good at gaining like new members. And the reason is he throws these like insane parties for like new members where they like preview stag films and he hires prostitutes. There's like orgies.
This sounds like the University of Louisville's what was it, the basketball team?
We're not gonna go there. We're not gonna go there.
So this kind of opens up a door for like his like sexuality, and he starts sleeping with men more. Him and his wife are swingers, and because of this, he starts like actually like exploring what he wants, these like young men. And this is where he commits his first attack against a young boy. And the boy's 15 years old. He brings him over to watch a stag film and gets him drunk and attacks him. Ooh. And sexually assaults him. And he basically pays the boy to stay silent. But eventually the boy doesn't. He tells his dad, who's on the JC with John Wayne Gacy. And his dad's a state senator, so they actually come after John Wayne. And they take him to trial. John Wayne pays to have this kid like beaten up so he won't testify.
Oh, my gosh.
But the kid testifies anyway, and he gets put away for 10 years. Sentenced to 10 years. And if we've learned anything on Murder Monday,
no one
stays in jail.
No, he probably got paid for his time in jail. They took care of him.
He got 10 months for good behavior.
10 months?
Yes. And then he's let out, and that just is like opening the can of worms. Like, this was, prison was not reformative. It's just where it all begins.
All right, we're going to find out what else is going on here. It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show next, so hang on.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Continuing our story this morning, we have Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana in studio, and we were leading off with John Wayne Gacy and just kind of opening up a whole can of worms here.
Yeah, so he's out of prison, and he decides to move back to Illinois, move in with his mother. He never sees his wife and kids again.
Like Chicago, right?
Yeah, the Chicago area.
That's pretty close to us, guys.
Are you okay, Liv? So he moves back home, and this is where he actually attacks another boy. And this time he takes it up a notch. He kidnaps this kid, keeps him trapped in his home, and like tortures him for days.
Days?
And
like, what kind of stuff is he doing?
The boy, I'm not kidding.
It's really bad.
Yeah. And so the boy actually gets away and goes to the police, and the police co-confront John Wayne Gacy. And John's like, oh, no, he was like my voluntary sex slave. And they're like, yeah, makes sense. Okay. And
they said it makes sense?
Yeah, didn't do anything. They didn't even notify the parole board in Iowa. So Iowa has no idea he's still doing this and lets him off of parole.
Oh, my gosh.
And he goes to start his own company, and he starts a construction company where he can hire young teenage boys and just surround himself with, like, his perfect type of victim.
Yeah, they're all muscular, no fatties, totally.
Totally. So in 1972, he has his first kill. He picks up this young 16-year-old boy at a train station who's new to Chicago, and he takes the boy back to his home. They get drunk. They engage in, like, a sexual activity, and he wakes up the next day, and the boy's, like, standing in his doorway with a knife. And John Wayne Gacy freaks out, attacks the boy, stabs him in the chest. He realizes afterwards that the boy wasn't, like, trying to kill him, that he was, like, making breakfast for them.
No but, way. He just was holding the knife. Like, yeah. Do you want some extra avocado on your toast or whatever?
Right. But
John Wayne Gacy was an avocado toast kind of guy?
Maybe obviously.
I mean, who isn't, really?
So he freaks out, but he says he experienced an orgasm when he killed this boy. So it, like, awakens this side of him that he didn't even really know he had.
He feels like he gets more sexual satisfaction from killing than actual sex. Mm-hmm.
And he said that... What is that noise? So he said when he killed him, he actually hid him in his closet at first. And a couple days later, he had to move him because he had this, like, brown goo coming out of his mouth. So he took him and put him underneath his home, and he buried him in his crawl space. And although this, like, exhilarated him, he was a little terrified of, like, the monster he was becoming. So
he lives alone, right?
Lives alone. So he's like, okay. Oh, my God, like, maybe I need to get a family to, like, get me back in check. So he actually remarries again. Tries to get involved with the community, and this is where he joins a group called the Jolly Jokers.
Nope.
And he creates this persona called Pogo the Clown, and he does, like, children's birthday parties, to hospitals, and he actually learns, so this is kind of where his, like, killings change, is he has this clown persona, and his second victim he actually brings to his home one day when his wife is gone.
Which is another young boy.
Which is another 16-year-old boy, and he said, hey, let me show you this trick.
No, there's
how
no
to get
tricks.
Out of these handcuffs.
No, never do that.
No.
Put these on, and so the boy puts on the handcuffs, and they're really tight, and he's starting to freak out, and he says, how do I get out of these? I can't get out.
No.
And John Wayne Gacy pulls a key from his breast pocket and said the only way to get out is with this key. And John Wayne Gacy recounts later that the boy's face just filled with terror. And then he tortured the boy, assaulted the boy, and murdered him. And then put him underneath his home in the crawl space next to his first victim. And he actually took the boy's own underwear and put it in his mouth so that goo wouldn't leak out like last time.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's realizing, though, he's getting excitement from killing these boys, but there's two things standing in his way from really doing what he wants to do. One is that he's married, so he gets divorced. The second is that digging these graves underneath his home is very labor intensive.
Right.
So he decides to hire somebody and bring them in to help him dig a graveyard under his home.
How? Who's going to agree to that? Who?
And that's when his home really becomes like a house of horrors.
If you want to see a photo, it's a dollhouse exact replica of what John Wayne Gacy's house looked like, and it even shows the bodies buried underneath. You can see it right now on our Instagram at Joe and Alex Show.
Murder Monday continues next on the Joe and Alex Show.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
This week, of course, as always, we have Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana in studio, and we're talking about John Wayne Gacy. And Alex, we got some photos up right now.
Yeah, you can see an actual dollhouse replica of what his actual kitchen looked like and the bodies buried underneath his house on our Instagram right now. There's a photo at Joe and Alex Show.
And that's where we left off, Ashley, kind of like his own little house of horrors.
Right. So he hires this young boy who works for his construction company to come and dig underneath his home. And he says, you know, I'm trying to lay some new pipes. Like, yeah. Just dig, but like, I've marked some areas, just like leave that alone.
Yikes.
And so this kid's young and dumb and comes in and digs all around the home. And he's actually given a room in John Wayne Gacy's house as like part of his payment.
Get out.
Like to stay there, you mean?
Yes.
Get
and so
out.
He tells a story of one time he's in his room and he comes out and John Wayne Gacy is in full clown makeup, clown outfit, just like drunk. and tries to pull like the same magic trick on this kid. And so he gets him in the handcuffs, and once he realizes what's going on, he actually attacks John Wayne Gacy.
Good, get him.
And John Wayne luckily is like drunk enough that this kid gets away, but whether he's ashamed or embarrassed, he never reports it.
Oh, come on, you gotta report it.
So John Wayne is like free. He's got this basically graveyard under his house, and he's free to just go on, and his killing escalates exponentially. He starts killing one victim every 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh my god.
And by the time December 11th of 78 rolls around, he's got 32 bodies underneath his home.
Dang.
I mean, that is one of the worst serial killers in history, I think, as far as the body count goes.
At the time, he was the most prolific serial killer. That's what he became famous for. Is there's just these videos of them like pulling bodies, like body bag after body bag, out from underneath his house.
Dude, that gives me chills.
So on December 11th, he goes for his 33rd victim, and it's this boy who runs a convenience store. He's like the little clerk, and when the convenience store closes down, he brings him home, says he can offer him a construction job, making more money, and he attacks the boy and kills the boy. But this time there was somebody who saw John Wayne Gacy with the boy right before he went missing.
Yes.
So he fingers John Wayne. The police go to his home. They get a search warrant. They don't find any bodies. They can't find any blood or evidence. But what they do find is this bag of trophies where like trinkets, watches, belt buckles of all of these boys who have been reported missing all over the United States.
How sick.
Yes. And so they put him under surveillance. They're like, we're pretty sure this is our guy, but we've got no evidence beyond just like these couple of things.
That should be enough.
Not enough. So they put him under surveillance, and he's super charming, and they actually become kind of friends with him. And while he's under surveillance, they bring him, he invites them, the police officers, over for dinner.
How psychotic. Like, come here, there's dead people under you, by the way.
Nasty. They're literally eating on top of the bodies. If you look on our Instagram post, I mean, the kitchen table is right on top of the dead bodies.
So they're eating dinner when the police actually start to smell like a really foul odor coming from the vents.
Dude!
That's not Gouda!
Right. So that's actually how they realized what was going on. And they brought in backup. They went and started excavating underneath the home, and they found 33 bodies.
Bruh!
And there's still a handful of them that are still unidentified today.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh, so they still don't know who some of them are.
Yeah, they actually just identified one of the boys this year.
Oh my gosh.
With DNA. Yeah, I'll post about it on Twitter. But there's still a handful that are unidentified. They had a funeral for 9 victims at one time because they had 9 victims with no name.
That is what is the most sad to me, is that in a lot of these cases where there's multiple victims, sometimes these people, it's like they were never reported missing. There's not one person in their life that said they didn't show up to something. Yeah. That is just the saddest thing to me.
They were such easy targets. Yeah, it's like he went after the people that didn't have that big network of people around them.
Yes, well, I'll retweet on our Twitter at Joan Alex Show Ashley's other information about the case, like she was saying.
Yeah. And John Wayne actually refers to himself before he was put to death as the 34th victim because he swears he was set up by his employees.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please. I can't. That is just, wow. Another great story, Ashley.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana, thank you so much for coming in today. If you have a tip, you can do it anonymously. 317-262-TIPS, and we're going to put the link to everything else to contact you and to all your social media too, because you definitely need to follow Ashley on our blog at Joe and Alex Show.
Yep, radionowindy.com. Just click on Joe and Alex Show and see those pictures and all that good stuff. Instagram at Joe and Alex Show.
I kind of like this music. I know it sounds scary, but I like the circus. It's kind of a fun place. But Liv, the web girl, she does not. She actually freaked out last week when we made her watch the trailer to see It. Then we went on Saturday night. It was the whole morning show. We had our buddy Buster. Your pops came along, Alex.
Dad, Kyle. Kyle.
Hey, Kyle!
Yep.
I was like, hi, Mr. Z, how you doing? I'm always weird like that with adults. And Liv, you got there. I thought you weren't coming at first. Did you try to miss the movie on purpose? What happened?
I didn't. I don't know my way around Indy yet. I got lost, okay?
Okay, sure. we were all speculating that you weren't going to come. That's why. So Liv made it in there, and she ended up like sitting in our row. She's between me and Buster, and the whole time I saw Alex and producer Moike looking down throughout the movie.
Just to look at Liv's face, because it was priceless.
I still have not forgiven you guys, one. And two, I was sweating so profusely. Like, I had pitters. It was disgusting. And it literally felt like a cardio workout because my heart rate was through the roof. I was watching it through my fingertips, like closing my ears. I was curled up in a ball.
You did like the fetal position. Like, you put your hands and your arms over there. I'm like, is she going to watch any of the movie? I think you did it by color.
It's that IMAX experience, man. That is really scary.
No, it's right in your face there. Yeah. We went to the Indian Museum IMAX. It was awesome. But I think she only lifted her head up when the screen was white. Anytime it was dark, she covered up.
I'm literally scared of the dark.
Well, that's a good fear to have right there too then. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm not kidding. It terrified me and I'm having nightmares about it. So
what did you think of the movie It that we saw?
I thought, okay, there were a lot of funny parts.
It was funny.
I needed that.
Well, they have the kid in there from Stranger Things.
Yes.
He had some of the best one-liners. We can't say them on the air right now.
No,
but
it's rated R.
Yeah, but it was awesome.
He killed the show, I will say, and I enjoyed those comedy moments because I was practically peeing my pants the whole other time.
I mean, I'm just sitting next to Liv. She's peeing everywhere. She's sweating.
I was gross.
Very attractive. So, okay, I thought the movie was freaking awesome. I remember the original when I was a kid, and obviously things changed with time, but I thought they did a great job. Stephen King said they did a good job. What about you, Alex and MYK? What you guys think of the movie?
I loved the movie, but I am also a scary movie, suspense movie, and horror movie fanatic.
Yeah.
I saw the original when I was 8 years old. It was actually the very first scary movie I was ever allowed to watch, and ever since, I've had a huge love for all things scary. So it was really, that's why I brought my dad, because he was the first person that I watched the original with. So.
That's so funny to me, because like, you guys are kind of conservative in some things, but like that he was like, let's go see this, honey.
No, my dad is a huge scary movie person, so I kind of grew up around that, and I thought it was excellent. I absolutely loved it, like Liv said, the comedy parts, because I think that's different than the original.
Yes.
There were definitely a few differences and some things that they omitted out, but it was, I give it a 2 thumbs up. It was amazing. There's a reason that it broke box office records. You know, it was great. You have to see it. And like Joe said, if you go see it, you've got to go to the Indiana State Museum and see it in IMAX, because there's not anything like it.
What about you, MYK? What'd you think of that?
I give it 2 thumbs up. If I had more thumbs, I'd give those 2, but it was the right balance of horror and comedy, which I love.
Oh, God, it was awesome, but it brought back so many memories. Like, well, there's the one scene, and not that I'm giving it away, but the scene that always gets me, I'm always afraid to go to the bathroom.
What?
Why?
Because of that scene in the It.
Oh,
in the
yes.
movie It. I don't like, and I feel most vulnerable when I'm, like, doing my business on the toilet. When I'm sitting down, I just, like this past weekend after watching it was like in and out. It was quick. I didn't feel complete, but I had to do it for my own safety. I got in and out of there.
Yeah.
You're shook.
Now, yeah, I was very shooketh right there. Now, if you've seen it or you don't know much about it, it's all based around this clown called Pennywise, and it targets and kills the kids based on their biggest fears. Like, it gets in your heads, and then he just kind of takes that form and then kills you. So 317-239-1009. You can also tweet us, Joe and Alex Show, on Twitter. Want to know, because he preys off your fears, what you're afraid of. What are you afraid of? It could be something totally serious. Like, I'm just like Liv, the web girl here. I really am, and I know I'm an adult man. I'm afraid of the dark.
You're afraid of the dark?
Like, I don't like going into places in the dark room. Like, we're going to do a bunch of haunted houses stuff coming up, and I love the clients, and I love the places we go. I hate going to every single one of them, and I try to get out of not going.
What, the haunted things?
I don't like, do you guys like being in a dark place? Like, when the power goes out?
I think it's
hell
fun.
No.
Here's the thing. There are two different types of people. There are people that like being scared for the adrenaline rush that you get, like when you're walking through haunted houses or doing roller coasters, watching scary movies. It's fun for me to be scared. Like, I thoroughly enjoy it. And some people, like Liv, it's torture.
But see, I like to be scared with heights and adventure things, like going skydiving or something like that.
It's different for you.
Yes, so you can see what's going to kill you.
Not about murdering things. Like, that murder freaks me out.
What about you, Alex? Is like, what's something that you're afraid of? Like, if the clown, like if Pennywise the clown was coming after you.
Okay, so I have 2 things. One is kind of funny and one is serious. The serious one is I absolutely do not like people in hoods or masks. So,
what do you got against criminals?
Like Detroit or what?
In hoods? Yeah, like, okay, here's the thing. No.
Like,
in history books, like, for obvious reasons, I don't like the KKK. But I especially don't like looking at pictures, like, in history books and stuff. Like, I remember in high school and everything, like, going through U.S. history, and then you would see photos of KKK members and, like, those hoods and stuff and their costumes. Like, they're disgusting on their own, but then just... It's very scary to me. Like, I can't look at photos of that. And then I also, and also the opener, if you're an American Horror Story fan of that show, the opener for season 3, Coven, they had, like, the witches wearing these tall, pointy, black garbed hooded things.
What about the thing the Pope wears? Is that scary?
Well, it doesn't cover his face. Your face has to be covered. Okay, that's what's scary. So then the movie The Strangers, that scary movie, which I've talked about on the show before, is the number one scariest movie for me because it's masked people. Especially it's even scarier when you're like, people are trying to kill you and then they're wearing like masks of like bunny rabbits and pandas. Like, that's even scarier because it's supposed to be nice.
So Alex hates Easter.
Well, yeah. No, but so I really, really don't like that. Yeah, for some reason, people in costume don't like those types of costumes. Like,
those don't freak you out, but it's just the single mask.
Yeah,
movie.
like kids trick or treating doesn't scare me. It's just like when it's supposed to be.
Get off of my porch!
Yeah, that's scary. And then kind of funny, but seriously, I do not like the butt fries at Chick-fil-A. That is scary. If I were to get an entire carton of just butt fries, it would ruin my day.
I texted Alex a photo. We had Chick-fil-A last week after I went to my surgeon's, and I was like, would you like this? She's like, oh, gross.
Yeah, I don't understand people that love the butt fries. I don't trust you.
Producer MYK, do you got anything that kind of makes you fearful, like that you're afraid of, like Pennywise could come after you?
You could probably get me with germs, like viruses and bacteria and all that nasty stuff, yeah.
Oh, man, just like out of the movie then, kind of. You're like one of those kids.
Yeah, I'm like one of the kids. Yeah, I don't want to kill it, but yeah, that.
All right, 317-239-1009. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? We saw It this past weekend at the Indie Museum IMAX. It was incredible. And if you don't know much about It, well, we can catch you up. The clown Pennywise, kind of a killer clown, preys on these kids' fears and whatever they're afraid of. He kind of like presents himself as that. So wondering, what are you afraid of? For me, I'm afraid of the dark. Alex is afraid of like actually going to a Chick-fil-A, which she loves, but like the butt fries, she calls them, like the little nubby parts.
It is a very polarizing subject. Do you like butt fries or do you not? Some people do, some people don't. I'm one of the no's.
I don't think people love, like, I don't say, hey, can you give me some extra butt?
But their regular fries are my favorite. My mom actually prefers the butt fries.
She's a booty fry kind of lady.
She is.
Mommy's booty fries.
Mommy's booty fries.
She better eat the booty fry like groceries. Okay. Live the web, girl. What are people saying in our Joe and Alex Show Twitter for what they're afraid of?
Katie said, on a serious note, I'm terrified of butterflies more than anything else. So
what?
I guess Pennywise would transform into that.
What the heck? I love butterflies. I used to catch them when I was little and put them in jars and make a mate, and then I would release them. I did. My grandma made me a custom butterfly net, and I planted honeysuckle plants just to attract them. I was hardcore.
I feel dumb, but like, do butterflies like, like, is that how they do it? Like dogs?
Yeah.
Well, they should freak you out. That thing used to be a worm. Why did it turn into a butterfly?
What is it now? 317-239-1009. Lindsay's on the Joe and Alex Show. What are you afraid of, Lindsay?
Okay, so I am scared of everything, to be honest. But two of my biggest fears are drowning, which is really odd because I was a swimmer from like elementary school all the way until high school. And then my other fear is glass dolls.
Glass dolls?
Yes. Not like see-through glass, but like their heads were like made of glass, or I don't really know exactly. When I was younger...
Porcelain?
Oh, porcelain dolls.
Porcelain dolls. Yeah, that's what I mean. So when I used to be scared of the Chucky movie when I was younger,
sure.
And my mom bought me all these porcelain dolls. I don't know why. I didn't play with them. And my dad would be like, hey, mom wants you in the kitchen. So I'd go in there because I would turn them all around so they wouldn't face me.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be like,
creepy.
Hey, mom wants you. Well, then he would go in there when I would leave and he would either put them in my bed or he would flip them around the opposite direction that I had them. And I would be like freaking out because I couldn't stand them. I hated them.
Did you ever freak out like worrying that maybe one of those porcelain dolls would like pull you down and you start drowning? That would be so scary. That'd be terrible. Thank you, Lindsay, for calling into the Joe and Alex show.
Bless her heart. She says drowning.
Drowning, yeah.
We all say weird words a little funny.
Yeah, yeah, especially you, giraffe.
Yeah, hey, giraffe.
Whatever.
Gucci man.
Gucci man.
I have recovered. I'm a rehabilitated man.
My biggest fear is the Gucci man underneath my bed.
Brittany's on the Joe and Alex show. What is your thing that you're afraid of?
I am terrified of trains.
Why?
I don't know. It's been like an unrealistic fear that I have that it's like going to jump off the train track or something and get me somehow. I don't know. It's
have
just
you ever
like
been on the one?
Like chase you down?
No. Choo-choo. I won't ride one. Like, I won't. If I have to stop and there's a train in front of me, like railroad tracks, and it's crossing, I will stop like 30 feet back.
Whoa.
Thomas the Tank Engine is the devil.
Right. I swear, I start crying and hyperventilating and everything.
Oh, bless your heart. I rode a train to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, my gosh. No, I can't think about getting on one. Like, I don't even want to see one go by. I have to roll up my windows so I don't hear the sounds. Yeah. Nothing. Like, I can't. Thomas, so that's a good one, my fear, I guess.
Does it scare you?
Does it scare you?
It scares me more than anything in the whole world.
Thomas had to stop. Oh, I thought we were going to get the Thomas song. It's just the intro of it. Hey, thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Thanks.
I can totally see that. It's kind of irrational, but it's a fear that you're afraid of. Let's talk to Nick. Nick, you're on the Joe and Alex show. What are you afraid of?
This may sound weird and crazy, but back about 10 years ago, I deployed to Iraq.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I was 20 years old when I went over and everything like that. And after the deployment, when I got home, I suffer from PTSD and survivor's guilt and everything. But my biggest fear about all of that is I don't sleep at night really well because I'm afraid if I fall asleep, I'm going to wake back up in Iraq.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the middle of the war.
That is scary.
Dude, that is intense.
Yes, like Joe said, thank you, though, for your service. But I would be scared, too.
It's just the biggest fear that I have. Anything else, I could care less about spiders, trains, and everything like that. It's just waking back up in Iraq, knowing that I've already been through it.
Yeah.
Well, Nick,
so it's weird, but coping mechanism that I've had is actually my wife. I met her after the war. So anything that happened before I went to Iraq and everything like that, I don't know if it's real because I've already known them beforehand.
Yeah.
But anything after it is like, okay, I know I'm still moving forward in life, and I'm not stuck in this limbo where I'm probably still in Iraq.
Wow, man. That's powerful. Nick, man, thank you for sharing this morning. Seriously, we really appreciate your service and for sharing that story. You have a good day, bud.
Thanks. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, thank you so much.
And Stephanie on Twitter says she's scared of ladybugs. Just thinking about it makes her skin crawl.
What?
And then another weird one, Carissa says, I am scared of statues and being under bridges. Yes, I'm weird. I know. LOL.
Under a bridge? I've never heard of that.
Well, like if it collapses on you, that could be kind of scary.
Yeah, and statues is interesting.
Those Confederate statues.
Bring them down.
She's scared of those.
Bring them down right now. Thank you so much. Joe and Alex Show on Twitter. Let us know what you're afraid of. It's crazy to think 16 years ago that our country was under attack. And at this exact moment, the first plane went into the World Trade Center. And right now is kind of where they observe the national moment of silence at 8:46 a.m. Right now. And right now we're watching on TV. They're singing, getting ready to do their thing. But do you guys remember that day?
I do. I was in third grade and I remember I went to a private Baptist school, and so they were super protective of, like, talking to the kids about things. And I remember we had chapel that day, and we were sitting in chapel, and one of the other teachers rushed to the front of the church that we were in, gathered all the teachers together, and they said, all the teachers come here, we need to talk. They were whispering about something. And then the whole rest of the day, I had no idea what that was about. And when my mom picked me up from school, my mom was like, Alexandra, do you know what happened today? And I said, no. And she told me, she was like, you know, some bad people flew their planes into these big skyscrapers in New York City. And I remember my mom was crying. And then as soon as we got home the next couple of days, all day, my mom had it on the TV. My mom was crying. And I remember just being like, Mom, why are you crying?
Yeah, I remember. Here's a clip from, I believe it was the Today Show. And they didn't know what was happening.
I have got to interrupt you right now.
Sorry.
Richard Hack, thank you very much. We appreciate the book is called Hughes. We want to go live right now and show you a picture of the World Trade Center, where I understand, do we have it? No, we do not.
We have a breaking story, though. We're going to come back with that in just a moment. First, this is Today on NBC.
Nobody really knew what was happening. It's like, oh my gosh, a plane hit that? How did that happen? They just thought it was like, oh my gosh, must have been some freak plane thing.
Right, at first. And then it wasn't until the second tower was hit, they were like, wait a minute, this is something serious.
Do you know if there were many people in the building?
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it? I can see it on the shot.
Oh my.
Something else has
just... You know what? We just saw a plane circling the building. We just saw a plane circling the building a second ago on the shot right before
that. I think there may have been another impact. Can you tell? I just heard another very loud bang and a very large plane.
Gosh, it's crazy. I remember being in school. Like, Alex was finger painting. I think I was doing something else. But when I was in school...
You would have been what? Were you a junior or senior in high school?
I was 2004 is when I graduated. So I believe I was a sophomore.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. And I remember I was in Mrs. Trago's class. Shout out to Mrs. Trago. She's the same teacher I had to buy $450 worth of a school book advertising.
Trago
for the yearbook to graduate her class because I got cheating.
Oh.
But they didn't tell us about it. Like, something was going on, but
you guys they didn't turn the TVs on in your classrooms?
They did not turn the TVs on. And we had TVs in every classroom. I'm like, why are we not
Most
we
schools
not doing
did that,
it?
I think. I like, a lot of people I know that were closer to your age that were in high school when it happened, I've asked them where they were and what their experience was, and they said they were sitting in class, and in high school, they didn't even change their class schedule. Like, you know how, like, when the bell rings, you go to your next class? They just sat the rest of the day where they were, and they just watched the news the entire rest of the day, and that people were crying and everything.
317-239-1009. Wondering if you remember exactly like where you were at on 9/11, and like, did you know, like, because did you know what was happening, Alex? Did they explain or no?
I understood that something very bad happened, that it was extremely sad because I was in third grade, and my mom was all... What I really appreciate about growing up is my mom and dad didn't sugarcoat things and keep things from me because they just thought I was too young. Like, they said it in an age-appropriate way, but a way that I could understand it. And so I understood that it was terrible what had happened, and I remember feeling sad about it, but I don't think I understood lots of... I remember my mom telling me lots of other little girls and boys lost their mommies and daddies today, and I remember thinking, wow, that's sad, but it wasn't until I was older that I realized how sad that was. And that like 2 years ago, I got to go to New York City, and I posted a photo of all of us trying to be patriotic on our Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. And the photo of me in the collage is at the actual 9/11 memorial. And I finally, a couple years ago, got to go there and walk through the 9/11 museum. And I sobbed the entire time from the moment I walked in to the moment I walked out, which is about a little over 3 hours long of being in there.
Wow.
I've never experienced anything so emotionally heavy and draining. As soon as that was done, I went back to where I was staying, and I went to bed because I was so emotionally exhausted.
Just drained from it. Now, MYK, you were in New York for a couple of years. You worked in radio out there.
Yes.
I mean, how was it for you? Were you there around that time or what?
Oh, no. I lived in L.A. as a kid, but what Alex says, I feel like everyone should take at least, you know, the moment in their life to go there and check it out, because you don't know the impact that it had on the city and the entire nation. Like, when you sit there and see the names, and you know, you watch the videos, as you saw, you go up to the observatory, you see what's going on, and they tell you the whole story. There's nothing like it in the world. The emotion there is, it's insane.
I can only imagine. That's what I'm like. I definitely, I've never been to New York, but that's something, after hearing you guys both describe it so passionately.
Must see.
Like, I feel like I'd want to go there. 317-239-1009. Hey, good morning, Joan Alex Show. Who's this?
It's Sean.
What's up, man? Do you remember where you were at?
Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school. We were taking the graduation exam, you know, to determine if you graduate high school. And our teacher walks, she stands up and turns the TVs on in the classrooms and says, there's people running planes into the towers. And I kind of looked over and I said, man, that looks kind of like a movie. I said, but there's no way she's lying to me. And then I kind of looked around, and then couple of kids start screaming, and then I just kind of looked at the TV again and just was in total blank shock. Like, I can't believe this is really happening.
Yeah.
And then they just sat us there all day, and when I watched that, I just kind of, I guess, was in a hazy fog, just kind of walking around school going, what's next? Are we next? You know, I didn't know. I just was blank.
That's what I thought, because nobody told me about it, and I think those, like, at least for my family, like, we didn't have a lot of cell phones. Maybe we had a cell phone. I don't remember exactly, but I just remember the same thing. I was freaking out, just like you said. I was like, what's going to happen? Like, I mean, like, is the world ending? Are we all going to die?
That's the thing. Young kid. The thing is that kids right now that are in high school that were born in the early 2000s that are just now in middle school and high school, they have no idea what pre-9/11 was like in this country because it was so different. It's really hard to explain, but like your airport, the airport security was so much more relaxed. You didn't go through all that TSA crap like as bad as you do now.
Well, the big thing now is finally, I think it's in Pittsburgh, they're allowing people, like if you were picking me up from a flight, you're allowed, I think, in their airport now to finally, since 9/11, to come into the actual terminal.
Yeah, you can't even do that.
Yeah, that was the normal 9/10. Yeah. You could see your family off towards the gate.
It was just not something that people thought of. Terrorism and terroristic threats was just never something that you ever really thought would happen. And then once 9/11 happened, it's such a huge fear that Americans now have every single day.
But thankfully, we have brave men and women that fight and defend our country and that are protecting us all the time. And it's amazing like how strong the country can at least come together after something so tragic. But it's crazy to think it's already been 16 years.
Absolutely. We will never, ever forget.